This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today our khutbah is about الاستخارة or salatul istikhara, which is a prayer when you're seeking the counsel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll begin with this true story that was told by someone that experienced it. He said, we grew up and we were a number of us growing up together, knowing together all our entire life. He says, but one of us is ahead of us in everything. As far as his position is at work, he's higher in rank than the rest of us. As far as his salary, he has better salary than the rest of us. Even though we grew up together, we studied and went to the same schools, he said his home is better than ours. Cars better. His family affairs are better. What's his secret? He said, this young man, throughout our entire life knowing him, he would pray istikhara for every important decision. Whatever it was, he would pray istikhara to Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if he's somewhat clear of what the answer is and that it's good, he would still pray istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he progressed and moved far beyond the rest of us because he's always consulting Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani imagine you have access to the most intelligent person in the world to consult on any issue that you have. What would be the result? And we don't compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation, but you're consulting Allah Azza wa Jal on every important decision. Allah, who has infinite and perfect knowledge and can control the decrees, then what would be the result of your life in that case? And because it is so important, in Sahih al-Bukhari, Jabir radiallahu anhu qal, he says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعَلِّمُنَا الْإِسْتِخَارَ فِي الْأُمُورِ أو في الأمور كلها. يعني he would teach us استخارة in all our affairs كما يعلمنا السورة من القرآن. The same way he would teach us a surah from the Quran. And you can imagine how the Prophet ﷺ would teach the companions a surah from the Quran, teaching to them carefully and in good detail and making sure they understand it and they know it. In that same way he used to teach us to make استخارة in our affairs. يقول, Jabir continues, that the Prophet ﷺ would say, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ. If one of you is concerned about an affair or an issue, فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَةِ ثُمَّ لِيَقُلْ. So he should then pray two rak'at outside the farida, outside of dhuhr and asr and the obligatory prayers. He prays two rak'at and then he should say the dua, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْتَخِيرُكَ بِعِلْمِكَ وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. Oh Allah, I seek your counsel by your knowledge and I seek your assistance by your power. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ. And I ask you from your immense favor. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. Or فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدُرُ وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. For indeed you are able while I am not, and you know while I do not, and you are the knower of the unseen. اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر. O Allah, if you know that this affair, and then you mention what it is, marrying so-and-so, accepting this position, going into this business venture, خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري. If you know it to be good for me in relation to my religion, my life and aftermath, my present and my future, فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي. Then decree it and facilitate it for me and bless it for me or bless me with it. اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري, and if you know this affair to be bad for me in my religion, my livelihood and my affairs, then turn it away from me. فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم ارضني به. Then turn it away from me and ordain for the good for me wherever it may be, and make me pleased with it. In another narration, ثُمَّ رَضِّنِي بِهِ. This is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, in al-Tirmidhi, Musnad Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, and others, rahimahumullah. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose for you. You're asking Allah, Ya Allah, choose for me with your bi'ilmika, with your knowledge. His perfect knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what has happened, what is happening, and knows the future. And asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then to decree it for you. Because there are people who have knowledge not comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, and they would not know the future, and they would not be able to decree anything for you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do that. And you're asking this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this power, with these abilities, to assist you in your decision and in your affair. You notice also in the dua, there is no mention of dreams whatsoever. And this is one of the most popular things where people expect that if they pray istikhara, they should get a dream the same night. So they'll come and ask the Shaykh, Shaykh, I prayed istikhara and I didn't see a dream. Did I do something wrong? But in the dua, you're not asking for dreams or for signs or an immediate response. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this affair is good, then facilitate it. And if it's bad, then push it away from me and replace it with better. So, but the scholars say it is possible to see a dream. But it's not one of the conditions, it's not what you look for that night. The scholars say it's possible someone might pray istikhara and see a dream. It's possible that you might pray istikhara about an affair and feel comfortable with the affair. But you'll find a lot of people saying one of the signs that of the answer of your dua is you feel comfort towards this issue, or you feel discomfort towards that issue. And that's not necessarily the case. It could be. But there are people who made istikhara about an issue and they went into it still feeling worried and scared and not comfortable, and it worked out very well. So it's not a condition, brothers and sisters. It could be that you'll see a dream. It could be that you become comfortable with the situation. Or it could be that you're uncomfortable and it's good for you. Or it could be you don't get any feelings whatsoever. Allah Azza wa Jal just facilitates it for you, or pushes it away from you without any feelings of discomfort or pleasure or anything else. So then the dreams are not a condition, it's not a necessity. The other thing the scholars mention, that you don't make istikhara over any peripheral issue. يعني, do you want to eat whole bread or wheat? You go pray istikhara. Or what should I have for lunch? Pray istikhara. Or someone invited me to dinner, should I go or not? You pray istikhara. Not over issues that are not important. And not over issues that are obligatory and you're supposed to do anyways. يعني I'm going to pray istikhara if I should fast Ramadan this year or not. Or if I should pray 5 times a day or not. This is not acceptable. But you do it for any decision you need to make that is of relative importance. If you, it's a job or a business venture, or a marriage, or a position, even if there is, you know there is good in that position. Because some people say, why should I pray istikhara over marriage? And Islam encourages marriage, and it's known to be a good thing, why should I pray istikhara for marriage? It's not istikhara over the idea and the concept of marriage itself. It's about the person, okay? So, will I get along with this person? Will they get along with my family? They might be religious and everything, but they will not get along with my family. Will they raise their children well? So, an excellent example of that is that of Habiba radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers, Ramla bint Abu Sufyan. It is narrated that when the servant girl came to her and told her that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was in Abyssinia at the time, that the Prophet ﷺ proposed to her for marriage, she became very pleased and everything, but she prayed istikhara. Now, mind you, she's not praying istikhara to see, istaghfirullah, if the Prophet ﷺ will be a good husband or not. She's praying istikhara to see if she will be a good wife for the Prophet ﷺ. Will she make him unhappy or make him miserable and then incur the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So she still prayed istikhara in something that there is good in. Or the scholars give an example, an imam position. Everyone knows good and khair comes out of an imam position. But a person might pray istikhara to see if he is good for that position, or if he is a good match for whatever it is in the community, what have you. So it's not just about if you're certain or not. Sometimes I'm certain there's good in an issue, but I don't know what might come out of it in the future. And that's why the scholars talk about al-istikhara being, you're consulting Allah Azza wa Jal on issues of the unseen. Issues of the unseen. You don't know what the future holds. Yes, everything looks good now, but I don't know what's in the future, and so I seek the counsel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there's the issue of istikhara versus istishara. Yani, istishara is when you consult people, and istikhara is when you consult Allah Azza wa Jal. And you'll find some scholars say istikhara comes first before you consult people. And other scholars say istishara comes first before you pray your istikhara. And if you look at it, it could be that it's an issue of semantics. Because the scholars, this group is saying that you first study a situation. And you wouldn't just pray without knowing anything about an affair. Ya'ni, someone wants to get married. So he just hears that there's someone looking for marriage, they go pray istikhara. Or they ask first and find out a little bit. Ya'ni, are the ages compatible? All these other things. In this process, they're actually seeking istishara. They're finding out more information, and then they pray istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make their to help being nudged in the right direction for the right decision. And also because I don't know, everything looks good now, but in the future it could be different. So they argue that your istishara is you gathering information, you knowing more, and then you're at the point where you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. The other thing is that sometimes people will pray istikhara. And there was a case of a sister who prayed istikhara about a man. They got married and then they got divorced. So her question was, I prayed istikhara, I sought the counsel of Allah Azza wa Jal, he facilitated the marriage and it still ended up in divorce. So shouldn't it be where when you consult Allah Azza wa Jal, you get the right decision? And the answer is that a lot of times we happen to see things just in the short term. And we don't think, we're not as far-sighted enough, or foresighted enough to see what benefit comes of something bad, but in the future. يعني, first of all, it's not a guarantee that whoever prays istikhara, they will not make any immediate mistakes, or mistakes in the immediate sense. But the good can come later on. For example, this sister, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this righteous child for her. This righteous child will come from this man that she will be divorced to for 2 years, married to for 2 years, and then they get a divorce. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this righteous, special righteous child to come out of this relationship. So in that sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew of the divorce, but there's a lot of good that's going to come out of it. And as many of us know, sometimes that first marriage, unfortunately, becomes the practice marriage. And you make all the mistakes. And then the second marriage, to the right person, now you know what mistakes not to make. So it wasn't a mistake in the first one. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preparing you for good to come in the future. So we just have to be a little foresighted with understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees for us. And in the second khutbah, inshallah, we're going to look at fiqh issues concerning istikhara. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. The scholars have a fiqh disagreement concerning the times for istikhara prayer. There is a group that says you cannot pray istikhara at times of nahi, the times when you're not allowed to pray, the rising and the setting of the sun, or from after a little after fajr. But others argued that any prayer where there is a valid reason for, you can pray, even at times when it's forbidden to pray. Yani after Asr, everyone knows, you don't pray. But if someone dies after Asr, we're going to skip the janazah prayer. There's a sabab, there's a reason for it here. So the scholars say, because there's a reason, you would do it. Someone has to make an urgent decision and needs to pray istikhara, and it's after Asr. We tell them to wait until Maghrib, and then the time passes. So even though there's a disagreement amongst the scholars, some believe that you can pray it at any time. The other thing is the dua of istikhara made before the taslim or after the taslim? And there are some scholars, including Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, who believes you have to make the dua before you say assalamu alaikum. Others argue it's after, and others said both are acceptable. You can make the dua of istikhara before the taslim. Others say you can say assalamu alaikum and then make the dua. Because they argued, it says فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَةِ ثُمَّ لِيَقُلْ, يعني that he prays two rak'at, that's not from the farida, and then he will say. So that means the prayer is over, and then after the prayer, he makes his dua. Either way, the scholars say it is acceptable to do both, even though some argue that it is more correct to do it after the taslim. And you can read the dua, if you don't memorize it, you can read it from the book. Even if you're doing it before the taslim, you're in salah still, you're after the tashahud is over, you can open the book and you can read the dua of istikhara during your salah. Why? Because the scholars say it is salatul nafila, it's a nafila prayer, so you're able to hold the mushaf or you're able to hold this book in order just to recite the dua. And almost unanimously agreed, not during the farida. Yani you cannot pray istikhara after a farida. You're praying dhuhr, and you might say, okay, I'll hit two birds with one stone, and then I'll just say the dua of istikhara at the end. But you can do it with any other of the nawafil. Yani if you're praying the two sunnahs of the greeting of the masjid, they could say you can pray it as the greeting of the masjid and istikhara. And when you're done, make the dua of istikhara. You're doing tahajjud at night, praying qiyamul layl, and then you finish two rak'at, make it two rak'at for the night prayer and istikhara as well, and you can recite the dua at the end. Or anything else, yani any kind of sunan rawatib after dhuhr, you pray two rak'at, make it also for istikhara, and then make the dua after that. The scholars also mentioned that there is not any known marfu' hadith, yani hadith that traces or links back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it's mentioned what suwar the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recites. So as far as is known, yani you just recite anywhere any suwar from the Quran, nothing in particular. There are some mentions from Imam al-Qurtubi on what to recite, but that is not also traced back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but suggestions from him, rahimahullah. The other thing the scholars mentioned, that you can combine two things in the dua. Yani you can pray one salat istikhara, and in the dua mention two things. Mention the job and the marriage, or purchasing a home and living in that neighborhood. Whatever it is, you can combine more than one thing in your dua of istikhara. And the final thing, it's another disagreement amongst the scholars. Some say you pray it only once. Others said you pray it you can pray it up to three times, because the Prophet ﷺ would make a dua three times. And others say you can pray it as many times as possible. And their argument is that Nabi ﷺ said in the hadith, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ, if one of you has a concern. So if this concern remains, or you get the concern again, you can continue to pray again and again. But really, the bottom point, the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that look at the opportunities we have. And only the Muslims have this great opportunity to consult with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on every major decision in our life. What would our life be like had we just consulted Allah azza wa jalla on every important point? And what we're trying to say, two important things. Number one is that for a lot of the adults, they only make istikhara when it's a big issue and confusing. We explained it doesn't have to be confusing. I can see clear khair and good in an issue, but I don't know what the future is like. I still pray istikhara. Yani it's sad that some of us will pray istikhara once or twice or maybe three times a year. Only when big issues, ashya al-mu'dila or confusing, will come up, we'll pray istikhara. Whereas others, every indecision, they'll make, that's of relative importance, They'll make istikhara to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the second thing, especially for the young people in the audience and at home, so many young people, istikhara has no part in their life. Only when it comes to marriage, mashallah. Then they come to pray istikhara. Before, khalas. But before that, decisions, what classes to take, what school to enroll, what to study, what career. They never pray istikhara to Allah Azza wa Jal. So to the young people listening, make istikhara a part of your life. You consult your father, you consult your best friend, you consult the school counselor, consult Allah Azza wa Jal. With that, I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who hear the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فاللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه فاللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا فاللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء وصلى الله وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله